work. Everyone, and welcome to Slobber Narco Talk with Austin Neely. It's fun to talk about NFL after the 7 days I've had. It's good to talk to you all again. Let's go over those games real quick. Eagles versus Vikings. Eagles pull off a win over a good Vikings team with 24 versus 7. Eagles obviously with the 24. I think the Eagles are going to go far in the NFC. They're looking as one of the top contenders behind the Buccaneers. Titans versus Bills. Thought this was going to be a closer game than it was. The Bills clean slated them 41-7. Josh Allen's just too good for that Titans defense. Bears versus Packers, two of the NFC's top teams. Packers take it, 27 versus 10. Bengals versus Cowboys. This could have been any game, anybody's game. Two good teams in their rightful places. Joe Burrow just hasn't been good since his Super Bowl. Cowboys took it. 20-17. Texans versus Broncos. Both teams are subpar at best. Texans' new team, 2004 is when they started. Broncos have lost a lot of good players over the years. Broncos still pulled out the win with 16-9 over the Texans. A game that I was excited to watch just because of the pure electricity between Devontae Adams, Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, James Conner. Everyone on those two teams is good. Cardinals versus Raiders. Cardinals took it 29 versus the Raiders 23. Good game. Loved every second of the highlights and watching it. Falcons versus Rams. Two very good teams look like this year. Falcons almost had the reigning Super Bowl champs, but the Super Bowl champs were able to bounce back from their loss last week. They took it 31-27. Seahawks versus 49ers, no surprise the Seahawks are struggling without Russell Wilson able to make those plays he could to get Lockett open or DK Metcalf. He was just a good field commander for those two wide receivers to prosper. I'm surprised the 49ers are using Jimmy Garoppolo. They were looking for Trey Lance this year because Garoppolo had some issues with his contract. And I understand he played behind Brady, so he's good. He led them to the playoffs. Got beat by Mahomes, but hey. In the NFL, who hasn't been beat by Mahomes lately? But again, 49ers took it, 27 over 7. Good game. Both running backs are good. The quarterback for the Seahawks is trying to fill some big shoes, so props to him. Commanders versus Lions. Two teams that are controversial, both at one win now and one loss. Everyone thought the Lions last year with Jared Goff was going to be bad. Maybe this is a bounce back year. They took it 36-27 over the Commanders. The Commanders are struggling. They're new team, new coach, new name. Who knows where they're going to go in the next few years, but I see them going places. They got some studs who just don't know how to be used on the field by their coaching staff. Buccaneers versus Saints. This was an easy win for the Buccaneers with Brady and Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette and all that. After the Saints lost Breeze, their best bet is Taysom Hill, but they're riding on Jameis Winston because they used Taysom Hill as the Swiss Army knife. The guys from BYU tore his ACL a couple times in college, I believe two, came back in the NFL, played quarterback. You can see him at a wide receiver position, running back. The man goes everywhere. He should just be listed as Swiss Army knife for that team, am I right? Dolphins versus Ravens. Now, this is a game that I was really intrigued by just because last week I rooted for the Dolphins. This week I rooted for the Dolphins. They were behind in the fourth quarter by a good margin, and they came back and they won 42-38. This isn't the Dolphins we've seen the last few years. Well, they'll have a winning season, make it one round of the playoffs, and then be done. I think they're going to go. I think they're going to be top team. The AFC, whether the Chiefs or the Bills, above them or below them, but those three teams for sure. Throw in the fourth pick, I'm going to say the Chargers are going to be up there. It's going to be a four-way battle between those teams. Colts versus Jags. I don't know what's going on with the Colts ever since they lost their players over the last few years, like Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, and so on and so forth, but the Jags won 24-0. It's not too often you see 2-0 in the NFL. Most teams at least score 3 points or something, but the Jags won clean. Good defense, good offense. They were just able to control the field when they had it. This game caught me off guard. The Jets versus the Browns. I was pulling for the Browns with Nick Chubb, Jacoby Brissett, and all their other players like Peoples Jones, Kareem Hunt, David Njoku. I like the Browns. I like the players. I know they're really, really good. They would be MVP contention players if they had the coaches. They had them last year, but Mayfield was able to lead those receivers, those tight ends, those running backs to the right plays. They got it done offensively today with Nick Chubb. He ran roughshod over the defense. He's, in my opinion, he's going to be the top running back this year. I don't think Henry's going to get it again. Will he be in contention? Possibly. But from the last two games, teams are starting to figure out how he runs, when he does his nose, when he does his stiff arm. They're just catching on to him. He's not unstoppable anymore. But the Jets had 17 points with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they came back to win with 31-30 against the Browns. Panthers. This was a team that was good. They got Mayfield. They had Sam Darnold. They've had everyone that could help them, and they just can't get it done. They lost to the Giants. Another upset win by the Giants, 19-16. Patriots versus Steelers. Coming from Pittsburgh, this hurts my heart. Steelers need to get Trubisky out and change the offensive coaching. There was a lot of opportunities that could have been seized or utilized properly. And Mitch Trubisky he doesn't fit the scheme for the Steelers. Is he a good quarterback? Yes. Is he a Pittsburgh quarterback? No. I don't even think Mason Rudolph could do it with his controversy. But I do think Kenny Pickett could do it. Like I said the week before, he has practiced with the Steelers. The Pittsburgh Panthers and Pittsburgh Steelers practice together on Latrobe Field. It was a small field close to my hometown. I went to a few of their practices, so I just know they do that. Chargers versus Chiefs. Chargers almost won, but they lost to the Chiefs by 3 points. It was 27-24. What can I say? Mahomes, offensively, hard to cover. He can break away. He can cross throw. He can throw across his body. He can throw halfway across the field. The dude can throw a 90-mile-per-hour bullet. There's just no way a beat-up defense like the Chargers, who are missing some players, are going to beat a healthy Mahomes, even without Tyreek Hill. He still has studs on the wide receiver core. This is a man who last year did what Josh Allen can do and hit different receivers every set of downs. So moving forward, I am going to focus on Mahomes and Allen, compare them as quarterbacks. I believe those two are going to take MVP this year. One of those two. One of the games I want to focus on this week is Titans versus Bills. I know it was a blowout, but just some things caught my eye. The Bills defense was able to stop Derrick Henry consistently. He only got 13 carries and 25 yards with an average of 1.9. Now, this is a running back who used to get 10.1, 11.2 average yards per carry. The man's a big body guy. You look at him compared to some safeties, even to some linebackers. They're about the same size as him, linebackers. But safeties, he can throw them around like they're a ragdoll. He can just bull rush them. There's no way a small safety can get him. But the Bills defense did it. No receiver on the Titans could get more than 50 yards. Tannehill just was not doing it. Ever since they lost A.J. Brown and Corey Davis, there's just not really anyone on that team who is a huge playmaker. Their receivers, at most, I believe, was 42 yards. That is not good for a receiving core. You're talking about receivers like Robert Woods, who played for the Rams and did good and would get about 900 yards a season with them. And they limited him to only 39 yards. And then the receiver right above him only had 47. That's not good. Obviously, Tannehill needs to figure out how to get it going, or they need to try Malik Willis. I know he's a running quarterback, but maybe that's what they need. They had it in Mariota, and they did good for a while until Tannehill had to step in because Mariota got injured. Offensively, though, this is where it really shines. Josh Allen went for 26 of 38, had 317 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Not only was he hitting every different receiver on every single set of downs, he was able to get 50, 60, 70 yards with each receiver. And not just his star one and Stephon Diggs, who had 12 receptions, 148 yards, and 3 touchdowns. This man, once he left the Vikings, his career took off. Kirk Cousins could not get the job done throwing to him. Everyone knows about the Minneapolis miracle against the Saints, but that's all Diggs did for the Vikings, was that one big play. He wasn't no 1,000-yard receiver, but with Josh Allen, he's definitely got it going for him. He made up for 3 of the 4 touchdowns by Josh Allen. Back to Josh Allen. The fact that he is able to hit all of his receivers and they all can catch the ball. Not a single one is sloppy. They all can catch, they can all can run, they all got strong hands. And another thing, that offensive line guarding Josh Allen was just incredible. He had all the time in the world to throw the ball. He had all the time in the world to leave the pocket, find his openings, hit Diggs. Diggs had a 46-yard bomb dropped to him because Allen just had the time to sit in the pocket, get cozy, and just heave it. He had all the time in the world. Nothing was stopping him. The defense, though, really helped. The defense had 2 interceptions on the Titans. Like I said, Tannehill's not a consistent quarterback, but he's good enough to lead a team. One was from Poyer, and one was from Milano. You don't really hear a lot from the Bills defense, and if you do, it's not those two. So I'm glad other players on the Bills team are stepping up, because last year, there was only 2 cornerbacks that really stood out and held that defense together. And now the Bills have Von Miller. And if anyone knows, Von Miller is a defensive player. He's always up there in contention for the top 5. He's able to keep par with Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Aaron Donald. Is he ever going to win Defensive Player of the Year again? Doubtful. But he is always double-digit sacks. And beside Aaron Donald, that defense is going to be unstoppable this year. I think they're going to go about 8 games undefeated, then maybe lose. But next week they face the Dolphins, 2 teams I'm rooting for this year in the AFC. And I honestly think the Dolphins might take it. The Dolphins are better offensively. They have more weapons. The tight end for the Bills, Knox, he's all right, but he ain't Gesicki, he ain't Smythe. Now let's go into the Titans side of that game. Tannehill was only 11 for 20, 117 yards, and 2 interceptions. The man didn't throw any touchdowns at all. The touchdown they had was a rushing touchdown. It's kind of embarrassing for a team that was able to beat the Patriots on a consistent level 2 years ago and be in the playoffs and be considered a Super Bowl winning team just 2 years ago. Their offense, though, Derrick Henry could not run. back to what I said, he is a big-bodied running back, and he just can't get it done. The receivers, 47 yards, 39 yards, and 32 yards. No one was getting above 50, and no one was really getting above 8 average yards per reception. Robert Woods is a speedster. He should have been able to do it, but something about that Bills defense, they're just holding it down. They got it. They got their number. Bills got it all year defensively. If the offense can't do it, I know the defense is going to stop them in time. The Titans defense could not get to Josh Allen, could not make him throw those big sloppy passes, because Allen can get pressured. We've seen it before against the Chiefs in every playoff that he's lost to Mahomes. When he is pressured, he will throw sloppy. He's still a young quarterback, though. He's going to have sloppy days. He's going to have good days. He's going to have terrible days. But as long as that defense and that wide receiver core stay strong, they're going to help him out. He's a young leader, but people look up to him because he's confident in himself. The other game I want to focus on today, and I'm only going to focus on one of the teams just because the pure incredibility of them being an underdog team going against a good Browns team. You guessed it, the Jets. They zoomed in at the final 2 minutes and took off with the win. You would not believe what you just watched from these Jets. They're not the Jets you saw last year or the year before. And what surprises me is Joe Flacco, who is very familiar with facing the Browns because, as you know, he used to be a Ravens and led them to playoff contention, led them to be a good team. He threw for 26 of 44, had 307 yards, 4 touchdowns, and Flacco, of all people, had 0 interceptions. That's incredible for a man his age. He might take the Jets somewhere this year, but who knows? Their defense is kind of sloppy, but this game, they had it. Rushing, it was not the best. I mean, there's other teams who have better running back duos. For example, the Browns is one of them. They had Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Those are both easy 100-yard running backs. No sweat to them. But they were able to hold down the fort. Everyone who ran the ball, the top three, at least had 35 to 50 yards. Like I said, not incredible. It's not their consistency. But they're getting there. They're trying. Everything's new for the Jets. Plus, they had some issues with Zach Wilson in the offseason. Who knows what that did with the morale for the team. But as long as they keep zooming like this and pull off those incredible feats they did for this game, I think they're going to be good. They're not going to play off, but they're going to at least have a winning season. I'm going to say 9-7. Maybe squeak out a 10th win. Who knows? But their wide receiver core is decent. Wilson had 8 receptions, 102 yards, 12.8 yards average. That's good. That means he's catching and he's running. He's able to get that extra 1-2 yards that they need for the first downs, that they need to move the chains. Even if it's not a first down, he's still getting it done. This right here is what gets me. The Titans gave Corey Davis to the Jets. I don't remember what for, but Corey Davis, besides A.J. Brown, was the Titans' second weapon. And I see the Jets going to be doing that this year as well. He had 2 receptions, 83 yards. Mind you, the wide receiver before him had 8 receptions. That's 4 times more and only 19 more yards. Corey Davis also averaged 41.5 average yards. This is a guy who can run. He can evade. He's got speed. He's got height. He's got hands. He had 1 of the 4 touchdowns. Wilson had 2. The other one was a run. No shame in that. You got to do what you got to do. I'm just glad to see that Corey Davis is still getting the attention he had with the Titans. The defense. Whew, this defense. It took me by surprise. They were just dropping bombs. They were able to fly in and just seal the game. Defense was able to hold the Browns to 30 points from the fourth quarter down to the last 2 minutes. The Browns only scored 1 more touchdown. They had 24 points in the beginning, but they only scored 1 more. And from 7 minutes to 2 minutes, they were able to hold the Browns at that 30 points. They got the ball at 1 minute 17. And within that minute 17, they were able to score a touchdown, have a successful onside kick. Mind you, the statistics for onside kicks, only like 3 or 4 are successful out of a 16-game season by 32 teams. If you break that down, that logistic is just unreal. There's no way that the Jets could have pulled that off unless a miracle happened. After the onside kick, the Browns got the ball back. They were moving the chains good. They were on the other side of the field. They were on The Jets side, Davis had an interception with 21 seconds left to close the game off with a one-point lead. Jets took it. It was incredible. They keep flying like that. They're going to do good. This week's top five, I'm going to focus on quarterbacks. Just because they're usually the MVPs, most people look at them to lead their team. They're usually the captains, whether they're new to the team or not. Joe Burrow was a captain last year, and the year before that, he tore his ACL and was gone the whole season. But he led them to the playoffs, so here's to a young future for those quarterbacks. Josh Allen and Tua. These two, I believe, are going to be the top two in the whole NFL. Tua in his game against the Ravens, against a good Lamar Jackson, against a good Ravens defense, he had 36 completed passes out of 50. Statistically, that doesn't sound good, but it's actually really good. He had 469 yards. He had almost had a 500-yard game, which there's only few quarterbacks in history to have them. Me being a Steelers fan, I'm going to say this. Big Ben had 3-1 season multiple times. But he had almost had it. He has 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You break that down, that's a fourth of his rating. So he did good. He did good for not playing the most last year, having only one player he really has chemistry with in Jalen Waddle just from his days in Alabama. Tyreek Hill, man, he came in with vengeance. He is coming into the Dolphins and having 100-yard games with Waddle. If Tua can keep hitting those two, game over for whoever's playing them. And their running backs, like I said last week, they were good in their respective teams. They did good this game too. So as long as Tua has the offensive line of weapons he does, I think he's going to be number one. Then I'm going to actually have to not put Josh Allen second now that I'm relooking over some stats. Justin Herbert, the Chargers, came from Oregon. I know the Ducks are not doing so hot this year in college, but Herbert's still making the Chargers a relevant team. He had 33 completions out of 48 passes. He had 334 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. A lot of games anymore, you can't really go without an interception. It's just likely to happen, especially on a young quarterback who is not used to the pressure of NFL. Even after one or two seasons, you still have some jitters. You still have a surprise linebacker or safety that's going to come out of nowhere, even if it's a team you faced before, because every year they draft new players. After Herbert, I'm going to put Lamar Jackson. His accuracy was the best of all the quarterbacks on this list. He had 21 completed passes out of 29 attempts, 318 yards, 3 touchdowns throwing, and 1 touchdown running, and 0 interceptions. This man is a dual threat quarterback. He gets an opening, he finds his receiver, he gets his running back and blocks for him, or the running back blocks for him. It's game over. He's going to score. Whether throwing it, running it, the man's elusive. Michael Vick's even come out and said that Lamar Jackson reminds him a lot of him. Lamar Jackson broke some of his records in it. I know people don't like Vic because of the whole dog thing. I don't really either, but humans are humans. We make mistakes. But he's still one of the best dual threat quarterbacks in history. And for him to say Lamar Jackson is on par with him, if not better, says a lot for his character, his talent, his abilities. He's making something out of nothing every week. He might not win every week, but he is the field leader the Ravens needed. Finally, I'm going to do Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes purely because Allen, just the last 2 weeks, he has been showing up Mahomes in stats. He's been making those big plays, and he's not really getting sacked. Usually it's Mahomes not getting sacked, but Allen, the last 2 weeks, kid's incredible. I hope he leads the Bills to a Super Bowl this year. They've been knocked out 2 years by Mahomes and the year before in the beginning round. The kid's got to want to win. He's trying to win. He's fighting for that win. And then I'm going to put Mahomes. He had 24 for 35 this week. 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's not Mahomes' level, but we all know once he gets a team who has a weak defense or a subpar defense, he's going to expose them. He did it with the Bills last year when they had a sloppy defense. He walked all over them. For running backs, right now, I'm sitting with Nick Chubb for the top running back. For wide receivers, I'm still going to say Stephon Diggs. He's still putting up numbers. And then I'm going to put Cooper Kupp. Linebackers and defensive ends, I'm going to definitely say Aaron Donald and TJ Watt are up there. They're up there every year. Myles Garrett, ever since that whole Mason Rudolph whack-a-mole thing, he fell off. He's still good, still top five, but he's not the level anymore that you see that you hear of. When he first got in the NFL, all you heard was Garrett sack, Garrett sack, Garrett sack, Garrett sack. Now you're hearing Garrett with the assist, Garrett with the assist. Oh, Garrett got a sack. That's sack number one. By midseason last year, the guy didn't even have double digits. T.J. Watt was sitting at double digits. Aaron Donald was at double digits. He's just not good anymore. Maybe the mole whacked him back and he just started to suck. Anyways, with the games, my wife and I have this little competition. We guess who's going to win. Mind you, my wife does not know anything about football. She just knows, go Saints, woo! Well, this week, out of all the games, I only had 6 correct because some teams caught me off guard. She had 9. I don't know how. She called some random games. She's been right, though, so I'm not going to argue with it. She's also the one who helps me and finds all my stuff. So big thanks to her. Other than that, I enjoy talking with y'all. Next week, I'm going to try to maybe fit in another week, another game. Maybe focus on one skilled position, maybe two. Who knows? I might even throw you off and say, hey, let's see who kicked the most field goals, or hey, who had the most interceptions? Because right now, the interception game for safeties is looking really good. There's some safeties you never even heard of who are rookies making the name for themselves. Another little thing I do want to touch on is being from Pittsburgh. Yeah, Steelers fan, but like I said, I want the Dolphins to go. I want the Bills to go. That's for the AFC. For the NFC, I want... Who do I want? I want the Cardinals. I want to see them in a Super Bowl again ever since 2010. You know, the 10 toes down, San Antonio Holmes against the Steelers. Everyone still says that wasn't a catch. Well, 12 years ago. Get over it. I do want to see the Bears go over the Packers in the NFC. I mean, let's face it, Aaron Donald's good, but I'm tired of seeing him choke in the playoffs. Let's see a team actually get there and win. The only team that has won from the NFC in the last 4 years, too, were the Buccaneers, because Brady, well, we all know that story. Believe what you want about him. And the Rams. And the Rams only because Cooper Kupp had good chemistry with Matthew Stafford. And that was it. And their defense. They had Von Miller last year. So it's just good for them. Another NFC team I want to see go. I kind of want to see the Jets hit the playoffs. I'm not saying I want them to make it to the Super Bowl. I want them to at least be a relevant name again like they were back in the early days. And hey, who knows? The Dolphins might pull off another only undefeated team in the whole NFL. Yeah, Dolphins still hold that record. Patriots tried it. Eli Manning said, no, 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 no. And then the other NFC team, I kind of want the Saints. I want the Saints to show that they can still do it without Drew Brees. Other than that, everyone have a good day and enjoy Michael Bejas and take point 22.